Hello and welcome to the Once Driven, Forever Smitten podcast, episode 2. Only a small gap of about a year and a half between them, but that'll be changing from now on. I'm Dougie Rankin and I'm with...
Pete Selm. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Now, the last time that I saw you, we were in the Scottish borders and in the north of England because you were dropping your Nova off at Berwick before absconding to Singapore for a couple of years.
Absolutely, yeah.
For work.
Yep.
So you're there now. You're in Singapore.
I am indeed. There is Singapore out the window as we speak. So, I've gone from, you know, one of the best places ever to own and drive a car, probably in the Scottish borders, to Singapore, where there's no chance of getting a car here. It's way too expensive. But
now, do you need a car so much?
No, not at all. It's tiny islands. You know, you can get around on the subways like a quid to basically go anywhere. And it's reliable, unlike UK public transport. So, yeah, there's no reason at all. But that's not the point, though, is it?
No, well, that's the thing. That one of my lorry driver friends was complaining the other day that traffic was so heavy on the roads, and he's like, where's it all coming from? And I was like, it's because people don't want to use public transport anymore because it's rubbish, and because of, like, COVID and having to wear masks and the concern of getting the virus and everything. Everybody's driving.
Yeah.
The roads are so busy. But, so you're in Singapore. What's it like weather-wise and everything out there? Because we're getting close towards the shortest day here in Britain now. It's so dark.
Well, I mean, it's almost like the place doesn't really have any seasons, so... Every day is like probably 25 to 34 degrees, probably. But the humidity, it's takes a bit of getting used to. So we've still got masks over here as well for COVID. So you have to wear a mask outside, which is not the most pleasant.
Oh, outside. Oh.
Yeah.
They're not going anywhere. They're talking about fourth wave in Europe. And
yeah.
If they do any more lockdowns, I'm just going to just disappear to the garage.
It's a good idea.
Just do work on the cars and everything. And I kind of, looking back, I do regret now that I didn't go out and do some car runs when the roads were super quiet during lockdown. I don't know why that didn't occur to me at the time.
I know. Well, but you've got a plan, haven't you? Which obviously you're not going to divulge yet.
Oh, I've got some plans. I've got some irresponsible plans for activities involving old Vauxhalls, I've got to be honest. Some officially mandated car rallies and some things that I'm just doing off my own back, which I'm one or two things I'm keeping to myself at the moment so nobody steals my idea.
Good plan.
People are wondering what that is, but yeah, we gave your Nova and you, I think, a send off in style because we haven't done much this year. I mean, I don't think a lot of people have because of the nature of the world at the moment, but I'm quite pleased. I mean, I had the Vectra, which was badly smashed. I had got it MOT'd the day before.
Just in time.
We met up with you in Dunn's, which was really good, because otherwise I would have had to take in the Omega, which is a great car, but it's a bit heavy, and it does handle well, but it's also thirsty, and it wouldn't really have been suited for what I had planned, or what transpired, anyway, on the day.
Yeah.
So
no, it was cracking.
I mean, the Nova, people won't know. It hasn't really been on Once Driven, Forever Smitten. It will be.
Yeah.
But people won't know about it. So you're going to have to explain to people about this Nova, how you came to own it, what's been done to it, and how it sits at the moment.
Yeah. Well, I suppose I've had it for a couple of years now, and I'd had a little road rally Nova, which had various engines over the years, but it was a small block. It was like a defunct little rally that I went and did. So it was a good little, you know, 1400s, everyone shouldn't modify the engines, all that type of stuff. So did that.
Like a road rally or one of these, like, get...
It was
distance
things? It was pretty much, it was off-road. So it was old airfields and mud and all this type of stuff. So put your cage in it, put the sump guard, tank guard on, get some proper suspension stuff. But in theory, everyone should be running a standard engine. So it's trying to keep the cost down. But I got overtaken by a supposedly standard 1400 Corsa on the runway like I was going backwards. So classic motorsport thing. Just don't get caught cheating, I think. But that car was cracking, but it was just so rusty. The rear chassis legs had gone. It was like a patchwork quilt. And you just... got to the point where I just thought there is now so much welding on this car and it needs more. I couldn't really, buy a piece of
it. If something gets that rusty, then, you know, you'd as well just going and getting a solid shell. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
Unless it's something unbelievably rare with some sort of pedigree, like it, belonged to John Cleland or something like that.
Exactly.
That's the only way I would try to weld something up that was super rusty. Just go and get a solid shell. It's the best thing you will ever do. I've done it a couple of times myself. And the difference between having a rusty, shaky, flexing cart and one that's solid and original is just like night and day.
Absolutely.
There's no comparison. There's no point messing about. So.
And that's...
So you got rid of the rusty Nova and you got a much nicer one.
I did, yeah. So basically that was exactly as you say, that was a plan. So go out, find another car, do a reshell, put all the parts across and away you go. So this was an unfinished project. You know, it had no engine in it. I bought it from a guy actually. It was a 1 litre spin. Originally had done about 40,000 miles. And it would have had an engine in it, but apparently the guy kept driving it back from the pub pissed. So he's like, right, I can't trust myself. I'm going to take the engine out of it. And it sat there for years, basically, with him. I don't know how many years he had it for, but separate to that, he actually had a 2 litre 8 valve, which had been living in his house. So I went to go and pick it up and it was just in his hallway in a wheelbarrow. And I said,
even I'm not that bad. I don't have engines in the house. Well, I'm not far off it, but I'm not that bad.
Well, it turned the reason he was selling it was he'd got a new girlfriend who was about 10 years older than him, and she was like, right, the car's got to go and the engine's got to go out of the hallway. So that was, and he actually texted me a while back and he was a bit gutted he'd sold it because it's a pretty straight shell. Did a tiny bit of welding on it.
It's a really clean car. Yeah. For it anyway.
Yeah. So, but yeah, the 2 litre 8 valve was, I'll probably say in the video, it's a bit of a, it's a 20 SE, but it looks like it's got a Lambda Ascension. It looks like it's been a later engine at the top and a SE. So it's not an SEH. So it's a bit of a mystery, the engine.
The SE engine is the Astra GTE 8 valve engine, which is, as far as, for some reason, the listed the horsepower output is slightly lower than the SEH, but as far as we know, it's the same engine.
Yeah.
And the only evidence I've seen to mark them out as being different was that the Astra didn't have as good an exhaust on it as the Cavalier,
because
it was slightly less power.
Yeah.
But to all intents and purposes, it's the same engine, an SE or an SEH.
Yeah.
But of course, they never came with Lambda sensors, like you say. They never came with catalysts on them.
So
what you had ended up with was a bitzer, you know,
I think
all
so.
Different bits and pieces. Because I sent you the loom down, didn't I, from that
That's right.
convertible that I broke.
That's right. Yeah.
To get it running, which, I mean, after some mucking about, I mean, it's a nice build. It's a lovely conversion that's been done in the car. It's really tidy.
Yeah.
But there was quite a lot of mucking about to actually get the thing to go and get it to behave.
Oh, there isn't. You know, it's one of those things where someone's taken it apart and there's just like random bits missing from various places and you don't realise until you go to try and find something. You're like, oh, there's I can't even attach a battery. Where's it gone? There's no positive lead.
And it's not that easy anymore. Like years ago, if you were missing an alternator bracket, or, you know, some random small bit of equipment, you probably either had it sitting there or you could go to the scrapyard and get it, and you can't do that anymore. It's just not as easy at all. But we got there in the end after I sent you quite a big parcel of stuff.
You did. I think I owe you a few beers for that. But strangely enough, actually, I don't know if you find this as well, Lithuania seems to be the place to get Vauxhall parts these days off eBay. I don't know what's going on, but I had a few parcels arrive.
Curiously, yes. Lithuania and also Croatia.
Yeah.
There's quite a big following for Opels out there. And once driven, we seem to have hit this kind of global reach now all of a sudden in the past couple of months. I've got a couple of guys from Australia sending me pictures of their cars. One of them's got a Cavalier SRI, one of them's got an Astra GTE. I've got a guy in America who's got a Cadillac, the Cadillac that's based on the Omega.
Yeah,
Which was that wasn't a success in America, and the Omega was considered a compact.
Yeah, mad, isn't it?
It only came with one engine, the 3 liter V6, and I'm like, that's a massive car in the UK. It like overhangs parking spaces.
Yeah,
but with a guy from Canada on talking to us about stuff, and guy from Croatia as well got in touch. Says, oh, me and my friends have all got Opels, and we love your channel. And it's like, wow, how's this going around the world in such a manner? It's just because nobody as obsessed with old Vauxhalls really are doing
I know.
anything like this.
It's a bit mad, isn't it?
Kind of,
Brazil as well, we've seen a few of those. It's quite interesting
definitely
seeing like the their version of a Chevette, for example, with a different front end on and stuff like this. So, yes,
yeah, it's
mad.
Untapped potential. Right,
yeah.
So the Nova, you'd got it right. Now, I remember you had a lot of running problems with it, where it would keep cutting out and it wouldn't behave and stuff. But,
yeah,
I mean, right at the last minute, because... Well, what happened was you were going to bring the car up to Berwick-upon-Tweed where it was going into storage.
Yep.
And then we agreed to meet you. And then we were going to go and do a bit of a car run, which turned into a much bigger car run and a better one than what I expected it might have been.
Yeah.
And then we were going to put the car in storage. You were getting the train back to London to go away.
Yeah.
So there wasn't much time if this car broke down. I was getting towed in and just dumped there.
And I was so that was... I'd done about 30 miles in it before I drove up to Berwick, which is 360. I think we did about 300 the next day.
Yeah, we did. There was in total between me leaving the house to going back, and it was about 300 miles out. And of course, I had the Vectra, which had been smashed in the front end, and we'd only just finished putting it back together the day before, and we'd done the wheel alignment using a measuring tape.
Yeah.
So that was kind of on a shakedown as well.
The Nova had been, the last time it was taxed was 2011. So it'd been off the road for 10 years. Basically put on about 700-800 miles in 2 days on the car. So
brilliant.
Not going to lie, I was a little bit worried.
It was never in doubt. You know, what can actually go massively wrong to stop it running? You know, the crank sensor could fail, but it had a new one in it, so that couldn't go. The fuel pump relay, perhaps, but you can bridge them out.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it would run badly, but probably wouldn't not run at all.
Well, that's it. And it's still not quite running perfectly, so maybe when you drag it out next time, you can have a quick look at it.
The plan is, I think, because I did nothing between work, I was that busy with work, and then I was burned out for a couple of months. Mm-hmm. So it was sort of 5 months, sort of June, July, August, September, October, all the good months that you want to be productive in. I did nothing. And now I'm like suddenly back in November and December, flat out. Everything's going crazy. So now I've got a big crunch at the end of the year because I'm working because obviously I've got my full-time Monday to Friday job as well, which is editor of Truck and Driver magazine, which takes up a lot of time as it is. So I've got that to do. So if I'm not doing cars, I'm doing trucks. So I'm like, you know.
And have you still got to do an extra edition for December?
I have, but it's not till next year. We do 13 a year.
Yeah.
But I've got another one to do before Christmas, but I've got every weekend is taken up with stuff between now and the end of the year. We're recording this on the 20th of November. Good grief, it's
mad,
Christmas,
isn't it?
Is coming up fast.
Yeah.
But I did so very little for so long that we're now flat out and really busy with it. But I'm going to go and get your Nova, I think, between Christmas and New Year.
Great.
And we're hoping that we can get that Nova out that's down the workshop, because what we're going to get to in a minute, we're going to run down the entire fleet of cars and where they stand with things.
That'd be good.
But that Nova in the workshop, we're going to take that down, get your Nova, take it back up, put some super unleaded in it to get the E10 out the tank and give it a service and just see what, you know.
I was shocked that we couldn't. That, you know. How many petrol stations did we go to trying to get super unleaded? Must have been about 4 or 5.
Yeah, because we met in Dunn's at the Motorsport Museum, and then the first thing we wanted to do was go and get super unleaded, and neither of the two garages in Dunn's had it. They only had normal unleaded, which was a pain. Yeah. We would have got it in Kelso, the Sainsbury's down there, would have had it. But by that point, it didn't matter anyway. Mm. So, I mean, the run was fantastic. What we've got a whole load of video from this.
Yep.
A fair amount of which is pretty incriminating as well, which I need to go and edit that down. But what I've been wanting to do, I've been using fairly basic editing software on Once Driven on YouTube. Yeah, you're probably going, yeah, you're damn right you have. But I've got Vegas Pro now, and I need to go and do some tutorial work with Andy King of Mark2Cav.com, who's been on the channel before, and I'm trying to get him to put some more of his cars on it, because he's got his channel UK Zook, because he's got this Polish like X fire engine thing.
That's cool.
But if you think Once Driven Forever Smitten's a niche, that's another thing entirely. I'm trying to get him to come on and do some stuff with his cars on Once Driven.
Yeah.
But he can use Vegas Pro really well. So I have got that. And what I want to do is, with that video, it's going to be one of the centerpiece videos for Once Driven for 2021-22. But I need to go and spend the time editing it. I've got a guy working us up some new theme music as well, so we're not going to be using Big Car Theft anymore, which some people like and some people don't like. But I was like, it was the only thing that was free at the time when I first started doing this.
Well, I didn't make your life any easier by recording in the highest possible frames per second on the new GoPro either. So sorry about that.
Yeah, it took an entire night to download all his footage from his GoPro because it's an ultra HD 4K, I think. And I, at the moment, I'm just shooting in 1080 HD, which I might move up to something higher in the future. But oh, yeah, your footage is just like super high quality.
Yes.
So we've got all the footage of you, but the footage. I mean, what footage did you shoot? Because we've got you with the Nova, down south, and then coming up.
Yeah, that's it. So a little bit of down south, and then I didn't really know what I was doing. So that's the first time I used the GoPro. It's like all the accessories you have to get to actually make it fit where you want to do is a bit of a nightmare. But yeah, hopefully we've got some half decent stuff, and it was just a cracking weekend. It was awesome.
Yeah, we've got better than half decent stuff. We spent a lot of time. I mean, the run that we did, it's one of my favourite runs. We started in Duns, went through the Langton water splash, and then we headed down towards Kelso, then to Bonchester Bridge, which takes you over the English border, then down through the Kielder Forest. And then at Kielder, by pure chance, we realised that the Forest Drive route, which is 12 miles of unsurfaced road, and this was the 31st of October, so it was the last day before it closed for winter. You could pay £3, and the sign said, four before vehicles okay, other vehicles passable with care. This is an unsurfaced... It's a rally stage, basically.
It was a rally stage, yeah.
I drove it like a rally stage.
Yeah.
If you ever thought, can you rally a Retmobile? Yes, you can.
Yeah.
I had the Vectra going quite fast through that. I think Kenzo was getting a bit concerned at one point because he was on camera duties. I've not looked back and seen what footage we've got from him videoing it, but I was going for it. In my defence, I have got quite a lot of experience on gravel and mud because we used to race cars up at my mate's farm every weekend for years.
Yeah.
I had a Mark IV Escort 1.6 gear.
Fantastic.
And it would not die. My mate had like four Novas and a Renault 19 during the time I just did the Escort, and all his other cars died and fell apart.
Yeah.
And the Escort kept going.
Well, I obviously didn't have anyone in the passenger seat, so I stopped halfway to start the camera, and then I just deleted it because it was so bumpy. You can't see a thing, unfortunately. It was just total rubbish, and it ended up going down towards the floor. So I had your mount on it, but it was, hopeless.
There's loads of stuff from that, and we did a lot of mucking about getting footage of the cars on the road, and it'll come out really well. I just need to go and watch because we were having a bit of fun on the way back, and there was a guy with randomly, it was like a 20 plate MG, sort of like a little,
he was flying
sort of mini SUV. He was, he was really going for it. When we came up in, it was another forest park. It might have been Northumberland, maybe,
possibly. Yeah,
can't remember off the top of my head, but these were fast roads as well, and we were having we were having a blast. It was great fun.
Yeah, he was really... You actually hear me laughing. We probably can't put that video up, but you hear me laughing at how fast he's going. It's fantastic.
Because I was like trying to... I was like sort of like gradually winding him into the point where I was like, I can't overtake him. I had the Vectra near to top speed at one point.
Yeah.
And the guy, I was like, the only way I could overtake him was if it was on a motorway. It would have taken me about half a mile to squeeze past him, you know. Fair play to him. He was really going for it. I don't know, maybe if he was an old Vauxhall guy and it was of great excitement to see a Nova.
Possibly.
Maybe less so a Vectra.
Yeah.
It was after doing nothing exciting or interesting with cars for so long, it was just the best time. It was an amazing day. I didn't sleep that night because I was overstimulated.
I'm still buzzing now thinking about it.
Driving the car that fast.
It was really good. Yeah, I reckon he saw the Nova, and it's the Nova effect, isn't it? And you're like, right,
must have done.
He's not getting past me.
It was fantastic because you now know that the Nova does work, even if it needs a bit of fine tuning.
Yeah.
For a shakedown run, for it to have behaved during that, because there's definitely more in it, because it should be faster than the Vectra overall. And at the moment, you've got the Vectra sort of not to 60, and then you would notice the Vectra would start easing away. I mean, the Vectra's probably got a better top speed because of sheer aerodynamics, because it's a much smoother shape to cut the air.
Yeah,
all the, it was fantastic to go and and give you a send off as well, because you're in Singapore for the next several months before coming back here for a visit again.
Yeah, no, it was superb, and that was the first time I'd actually, as I said, properly driven a car, and I think it's just at the limit of what those wheels and tyres can do. They're 175, those tyres on there, so they're not particularly wide for a 2-litre 8 valve. But
I mean, they're designed, they would have been perfect on the gravel, you know, and they would be really good in certain types of conditions for your rallying and things. But you probably want to squeeze. It probably wants on 14s 185 60s, but the ideal you really want 15s probably to go and harness the
probably the power, do. But that's all right. We'll get around to it. But
The best the wheels you want for that are the Belmont. No, it's not. I had them on my Belmont, the Mark III Astra Sports steel wheels.
Oh yeah,
they're 15s, but they're only five and a half inches wide.
Oh, that works.
They're narrower than the normal ones.
Hmm.
So you can 195. You can't really put 205s on them because they're like sticking out over the edges too much.
Your Vectra, I mean, considering it's got is it standard suspension on that, isn't it, at the moment?
It's got standard suspension. The Vectra is completely standard. I'd put four brand new Uniroyal Rain Sports on it, and I will defend the certain models of Vectra. Yeah. When that car came out, it was criticised for the handling and the bushing was too soft on it. Mm. And like, the LS model cars had 15-inch wheels with 195 65 tyres, which is a really high sidewall, kind of like balloon tyres. But once you got a bit higher up the range and got the 16-inch wheels, 205 55s, the handling's transformed on them. And it's such a, I mean, I couldn't get the thing out of shape. Even when I overcooked it in some bends, the car, it still, the back end wouldn't step. It would just naturally sort of slightly oversteer, and I'd be able to put the power on and bring it back in. Mm-hmm. It was fine, such a good handling car. And I was thinking, if I changed the suspension on it, I'd maybe just go for SRI suspension.
Yeah.
Because you used to have a Vectra SRI as well.
I did.
And that was a great handling
car. Oh, phenomenal. I mean, I actually took my friend out from BMW now, and he couldn't believe how well it handled. He was like, I thought Vectras were going to be shite. This is actually amazing.
The reputation they've got is so unfounded. I mean, certain models are pretty rubbish. Like the first SRIs on the NP Reg are rubbish. The no side skirts on them, the no sports interior trim, they were nowhere near good enough. But by the time 1998 comes round and you've got the 16-inch twin-spoke wheels, the boot spoiler, the car had a major facelift and everything completely changes on them. And they're massively underrated by anyone who's not like heavily into Vauxhalls. But that's fine, you know, it's a well-kept secret. You can still get them very cheap as well. You won't get a high-spec Cavalier cheap, but you'll definitely get a Vectra B. And Vauxhall should have just called that car the Mark IV Cavalier, really.
Far, far easier starting life it would have had, far easier.
Well, they should have actually delayed the start of it. Well, I think they should have put the multi-valve engines across the range in the Cavalier and run it up to the P registration.
Yeah.
So you had the 1.6 16 valve, the 1.8, which would have made it much more competitive with the Mondeo in its later years. And that extra 6 months they should have spent developing the Vectra and getting it right. Because they did kind of rush it out. So, but the later Vectras are a world away from the early ones. But and they're also really similar to the Cavalier as well. The driving position's the same. The position of the gear stick's the same. The dash clocks are the same shape. Yep. The car, if you look at them side by side, it's just like a pointy Cavalier.
It is, isn't it?
Smoothed off.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. And yours to be back on the road after what happened to it. Back from the dead.
That massive smash.
Yeah.
You know, that was... curiously, I've had people wanting to buy it as well. Like, if you're ever selling that, let me know. And I'm like, are you sure?
Have you seen
what happened to it?
I tell you what, though, I think you'd given up on that car. So how did that come back to being back on the ropes? You thought, that's it, it's finished, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I made a start on it. I knew I'd kept the diesel Vectra. Well, what we'll do, we'll go and run through the entire once-driven fleet. That's what we're going to do. Now, I'm just going to jot this down now because there's a few and I need to remember them. So we'll start off Vectra B. What else is there? Omega.
Yep. Cavalier seating.
C, garden ornament. Yep. Vectra C, Cavalier CD. Cavalier GSI.
The Astra Coupe was sold earlier this year.
That's gone, yeah. That's I sold it to Stevie Thompson, who's built some really high-powered cars over the years.
Yeah.
Great guy. Unfortunately, it was more rusty underneath than we knew.
Really?
So, sorry. But I didn't sell it. I didn't sell it for very much money. So they won't have lost anything out of it. If you sell the interior out it and scrap the shell, you know, it'll be fine. But that's unfortunate. It was more rusty than what was considered underneath. But I have got the VXR engine and all the running gear sitting there for that car. Ooh. At Brian's workshop. So
interesting.
I've kind of got an idea. I would like to get a Mark IV Astra Estate.
Yes, I love a fast estate.
The problem with them is you don't get sporty ones. The Mark IV Astra Estate range was rubbish.
No. Yeah.
You don't get sporty ones and you don't get a high-end luxury one. I think you can get a CDX and you can get an Elegance or a Comfort.
Correct.
But you don't get a really high-end one, which is annoying because I would want one with everything on it. But I think in an estate that I can get with relatively low mileage on it, because the exhaust and everything's set up for a Mark IV Astra with a long back end on it.
Yeah. Did
so everything.
Am I going mad, or did Opel do an OPC version?
Of an estate.
Yeah, did they?
They did, but I think it might only have been a concept car.
Yeah.
I'm not sure they sold them. Somebody's made one. I remember featuring it in Total Vauxhall.
Yes. Yeah, didn't they?
The guys from Griffin, Luton sort of way.
Yeah. No, I do remember that car.
Craig, cool. Maybe in... them. This is over 10 years ago now.
Yeah.
Going back to the Total Vauxhall days.
The good old days.
Yes.
Right, what else you got on your list then?
Vectra Omega, Vectra C, Cavalier CD, Cavalier GSI, Mark III Astra Saloon.
You're going to put Kenzo's cars down as well?
Yeah, we've got Kenzo's cars in there as well. Aye. So we've got Kenzo, my budding assistant, Professor Kennedy. He's got a Cavalier Turbo, Astra GT 16 valve.
My old car, your old car?
Yes, car formerly owned by both of us.
Yep.
Nova 1.6. Aye, so he's got those three. He's also got a Nova Turbo C20 LET sitting in his garage, which has been there for about 10 years. I put the LET in it in 2012.
Is this red, this car?
It's red. It's got half a roll cage in it. It's got a big Mitsubishi Turbo on it. He drove it about for about 2 weeks and then put it in the garage. So we're going to drag that out next year and go and pass it off as a barn find. Nova dragged out, because I was like, you've forgotten you even own that. So he's nicked bits, he's stolen bits off it, as is the way with cars that get parked up a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Bits have disappeared off it. So I'm like, what's all been taken off this car for other ones? He didn't remember. But that's got speed lines on it. It's got Kone suspension. It's got good kit on it. But it literally hasn't been started for nearly 10 years.
That was in staff cars a bit, wasn't it?
I think. It was in Total Vauxhall when we were doing the build on it. It's got an F28 with a Quaife diff in it. It's proper.
Really good spec then.
High spec.
Yeah.
He took I had welded in Astra convertible front seats with this really rare purple sort of pattern on them.
Yeah.
But he removed them and sold them to our friend Wardy. So it now doesn't have seats in the front of it. But I think he's got GTE seats sitting that are spare, so they can just bolt in the front of it.
What's the base car? Is it Mark One? Is it Mark One Nova?
No, it's a Mark Two.
Mark
Two. It was a J-Ridge. I don't know what it was. It was
just poverty spec.
A special edition, but it wasn't anything.
Yeah.
It wasn't as poverty spec as a spin.
That's really poverty spec.
It wasn't a Lux or anything like that. So he's got those four, and then you've got your Nova as well, which we've talked about.
Yep, and don't forget the Bedford Rascal.
And the Bedford, oh goodness me, the Bedford Rascal. We absolutely need to. We'll need to do some driving challenge in that. something seemingly unfeasible.
Yeah, well, doing 70.
I want to do it up like the Transcon Medivac ambulance from the Cannonball Run.
It's too nice to do that too. I did want to lower. I wanted to lower it and do all this type of stuff, but I'm like, oh, it's quite. There's not many left now. It's 190 left.
No,
on the road.
No.
Probably for
let's
good
start
reason.
With that then. Bedford. So we've got. I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Between that's just Kenzo and I with those cars. That's 10 cars plus yours. You've got another two.
Yeah.
But let's start off then. Okay. the once-driven, forever-smitten car fleet as it stands, November 2021. We've talked about your Nova, which is in storage. I'm going to get it out between Christmas and New Year.
Yep.
Bedford Rascal van.
Oh, right.
How and why?
That's a very good question.
Apart from the fact it's cool.
Yeah, I was on eBay and I just thought, I need a van. And then, as you said, I should have probably gone for an Astra van or something like that. But this popped up. And Mum always used to talk about how she was desperate to have one in the 80s when she worked at the family Vauxhall dealership. But Berwick's quite old-fashioned in some ways.
That was, I mean, the dealership, because we did do a video on that last year where we walked around it. What was it called again? You better explain to people a little bit about your family background.
Yeah, so Blackburn and Price, Berwick upon Tweed. And so my granddad started as a mechanic, so he got headhunted after World War II because he was working on Bedford trucks during the war. And very quickly worked his way up and ended up owning the business. So grew up around a Vauxhall dealership, which is amazing, which is why I've got all of these old brochures and old Vauxhall stuff and loads of merchandise from over the years. But my mum worked there until the late 80s, must be about probably about 86 or something, 87 maybe, and she moved down south with my dad, which is obviously where I predominantly grew up. And so Berwick's quite old-fashioned in many ways. And Mum wanted to be a mechanic, and granddad was like, no, I'm not putting in female toilets into the workshop. That's not happening. And she was like, I want my HGV license, because we were a truck dealer as well. So we had the huge Bedfords come in. He's like, no, you can't have an HGV license. And then she was like, right, for the next demo, I want one of these new Bedford Rascals. He's like, no, you're a woman. You can't drive a van. You can't be seen going around town in a van. So I think my mum was...
Good grief.
It's, you know...
That's terrible.
I know, it's bad, isn't it?
It really is.
But, so she always wanted one, basically. And I was like, I'll just bid on this and see what happens. And I think I was the third highest bidder because, as you probably know, Bedfords tend to attract people with caravans sometimes. And I think they were the top bidders.
They are, yes. You know, there is that demographic that loves a Bedford and loves an old Transit, for sure, yeah.
Yeah.
But you won it. You managed
well,
to. Did you see it before you bought it?
I bought it unsold. So, but I did call a guy before and I asked him a load of questions, and he bought it for nostalgia reasons as well. So he'd not run it as a proper van for ages and needed had a bit of a rust scab on the front and stuff. But we ended up going to pick it up. The guy probably thought, what the hell's going on? So we turned up in a long wheelbase, brand new 7 Series, because my mate from BMW had taken me down there. And he's like, you come to buy a Bedford Rascal? I was like, yes, I have. This is fantastic. it done 80-odd thousand miles. It's pretty low mileage. I don't think it had been used properly as a van. And, I look ridiculous driving it because it's, you know, it's so such a tiny little thing. And what I didn't realise, which is my other half absolutely loves this, the first winter I had it, there's like a summer valve. So it basically restricts how much cold air gets taken into the intake. It's literally switch it around. So it's got a choke, but it's spring-loaded choke. So it pops back in and it's got no power steering. And you've seen under my apartment blocks, it's quite tight to get parked and things.
I have, yes. I've been in there with a car before. It is indeed very tight. Parking's at a premium. No. But, I mean, the Rascal, I mean, is the... I mean, I wouldn't like to park the Omega in there.
No.
The Rascal...
Well, you'd think the Rascal would be fine. But in winter, when you haven't got the winter valve on and you've got a choke that pops back in and no power steering, you're like, right, go. And then it stalls. And I stalled it probably about 3 or 4 times trying to get out of the car parking space to start with. And my other half finds it hilarious. Oh. Just watch me. But I've found the winter valve and it actually, it's a lot easier to drive. Oh. But
it's a Japanese or it's source. Is it an Isuzu or a
Suzuki?
Suzuki.
So even the cam cover's got Suzuki written on it. But it's just a comedy little. It was built in Luton though, so it's. It's almost got like one Japanese, one Luton parent. It's a bit of an in-between. But
I mean, what engine's in it? It's a 1 litre.
1 litre. I think it's got 48 horsepower.
That's not bad.
It's not bad. It's a later one with the 5-speed rather than the 4-speed gearbox. So,
Cruising speed?
Comfortably 65, so you can just about overtake Juggernauts.
That's all right.
The issue being, obviously, when you go past such a big truck and it's like a, well, it weighs about just over 700 kilograms. So it's pretty light, and it's basically like having a, if it's windy, it's like having a sailing boat. You just blown across the motorway. So it's quite a terrifying experience sometimes, but.
Yeah, but you have used it for quite a few different useful things.
Absolutely.
You know, picked up engines and all sorts of stuff with this.
Well, that's it. I mean, that was, so I went to buy the Nova, and the guy was like, oh, are the engines separate? I was like, not a problem. I've got a van. So I stuck the engine in the back of the van. And yeah, so it's basically, I've moved a few engines around. It's been really helpful. So yeah, that's currently in a garage near Guildford at the moment. Surrounded by stuff in it and out of it for when we obviously went abroad, and yeah, tires pumped up to about 50 psi, so hopefully they don't flat spot by the time I come back in March, April next year.
Good.
And I'm gonna run around in that, so yeah, it's a bit of a comedy vehicle really. I don't know why I really bought it, to be fair, but I've got it now, so.
Brilliant. No, we'll have to go and do something with that in the future, for sure.
So where do we want to start with your fleet then?
I've written Vectra B at the top.
Go on,
so then. We're undoing that. The Vectra B, which people will know about because it's been heavily covered on the channel. I bought that car for £450 at Christmas 2019. And then I promptly got the worst flu ever. And you had to go and pick it up for me because I was so violently ill.
It's a pattern emerging here.
This was before COVID. Maybe it was COVID.
Yeah, who knows?
We don't know. That was in December 2019. Mm. And it was one of those eBay ads where the pictures were absolutely terrible, but I like saw in the pictures it had its original... There was something that just twigged. It had its original floor mats or something like that. And I was 74,000 miles. So I just phoned them up and said, oh, right, I'm going to bid on it. I'm going to take the car.
Yeah.
And he said, do you not want to see it? And I'm like, no, it's fine.
Yeah.
We'll take it. Because I just knew it was like an elderly person that had owned it. They were like 89 years old and they'd given up driving.
Yeah.
And yeah, I got the car and it was better than I could possibly have hoped for. It was just beautiful. An absolute steal for the money. I mean, just ridiculous. And I'd run it and then I'd tried to help somebody out. Not for any reason other than just to be nice and try and help someone who was like really having a difficult time, who was also a complete lunatic, as it turned out. But it ended up getting badly smashed. And then I did a lot of work putting it back together because the diesel Vectra that I had, the CDX 2.2 DTI, that had a running fault, it had an engine management fault, it had gone into limp mode and it couldn't be fixed. Something must have gone right in the guts of the wiring loom somewhere or in the ECU, I don't know. And besides it, I mean, the fumes and emissions coming out of it were horrendous.
Mm.
And not that I'm like old Greta Thunberg or anything like that, but I'm like, this car's done 180,000 miles. It's rusty.
Mm.
I had completely rebuilt it mechanically. I had all new brakes and backplate, everything on it.
Yeah.
So I just decided to get rid of that. And as it turned out, I was able to use the front end panels off that to rebuild the other one. And then laterally, I bought a Vectra CDX 2.6 V6, the same colour, and got it transported up here.
Good luck.
So I could transfer all the bits on it. It's now in use as a daily driver. The exhaust started leaking at the flexi again, so I'll need to go and weld it up properly. But at the moment, the ramp's broken, so it's Omega down south next week where I've got to go for work. But I mean, that car's brilliant.
How much did you have to pay for your... How much do you have to pay for your donor car? It's a bit of luck finding one the same colour.
About 300 odd quid or something, I think.
That's right.
Because people are like, you're going to get it painted. And I'm like, paint's like so expensive to go and get the whole front end and then down the sides of a car done. I was like, I need to get one of the same panels on it.
Yeah.
So that CDX 2.2, I mean, that's like daily driver. It will be going down to England. Next week, I'm going to Sweden for work. So I'm taking the Omega down because... For a video next week, I'm visiting a couple of scrap yards in the Manchester area,
ooh,
both of which apparently have Cavaliers in them.
Oh, wow.
So I'm taking the Omega because A, my tools fit in the boot, and B, if I end up removing a substantial amount of stuff up to and including an engine, I can get it in the back of that car.
Nice.
The problem with saloon cars, and for, you know, randomly, my Vectra, my Cavalier CD, the GSI, and the Vectra B are all saloons. So they're not very practical for putting stuff in. Not that's just happened that way. I would have bought hatchbacks or estates or whatever. It doesn't matter. But the Vectra B, daily driver on the road. The other car that I've got on the road right now is the Omega.
Yep.
2.5 V6 GLS manual estate, which I bought in 2018 from an old chap. Well, it was his son I bought it off.
Yeah.
With 6,000 miles on the clock.
That's mad.
For £1,100.
Bargain. What a bargain.
It was one of those ones. I just happened to be on Facebook. I was actually doing weight. I was on my weight bench, which I probably the last time I was on it, about 3 years ago. And I was having a break between things, and I just logged into the phone, and the first thing I saw was Omega for sale, mill guy, 6,000 genuine miles, blah, blah. Straight in the phone, I'm coming out tonight, I'm having that car right now. Again, don't you want to see it? I'm like, do not sell that car, I am buying it, I will be with you. So straight out, and I'm looking around it, you open the door, and the thing is like brand new.
It still smells like an Omega, brand new. Yeah.
It was sitting in the garage, it was like it was in a showroom.
Yeah.
Apart from he'd scraped all four corners of it because the old guy only used it to tow a caravan in the summer, and it had to go in quite a tight garage, and obviously it was getting quite old, so he'd scraped all the bits in. But the car was like brand new. It was astonishing, the condition of it. And I'm looking round it, opening the doors, checking everything, and they're like, they're asking me, so are you okay? Are you happy? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, is the price okay? And I'm like,
no.
I could have been a dick. I could have been like, I'll tell you, I'll give you 900 for it.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. Of course the price is okay.
That's one of those adverts where you panic when it's so good. You panic because you're like, shit, someone else is going to get there.
I ended up buying it, obviously. Yeah. Drove it home. And I gave it a little bit of stick on the way home, and then the engine management light came on and it wouldn't run properly. I was like, got the Opcom onto it at home and checked it, and it was the EGR valve with a fault in it.
Mm.
And like a lump of carbon had come shooting down the intake and jammed in the EGR valve.
Oh, right.
So it couldn't shut.
Yeah.
But it was just because the car had, that's probably the fastest it had ever gone.
Yeah.
You know, if it's only ever towed a caravan, I had it going down the motorway at like 90.
Yeah,
so to see what it could do.
So that makes sense. Because it's pretty unusual to have a V6 and the GLS, which was the entry into the Omega range, revised.
It was the entry level at that point, the GLS, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The Select wasn't available below, was it?
No.
GLS was comparatively, it's a low spec, but on the other hand, it's still high. You've still got a leather steering wheel and you still get climate control.
Yeah,
didn't have cruise control on it, which is an essential for all my cars. I will fit cruise control to every one of them. The Cavalier CD's got it. The GSI's got it. I've fitted it to other cars in the past. So the Omega, thankfully, is pre-wired for it. So you just go and hunt the wiring plug, which is taped up in the loom, plug your cruise control unit in, run the cable into the throttle cable housing, and you need a different. You need a clutch switch. Which I didn't bother fitting. I just bridged the wire across because the clutch switch is crap anyway.
Job done.
And you need a different brake light switch. And that's what you need. So I fitted cruise control to it. And then I found that the seats were rubbish because the GLS seats are like bottom of the range and they don't have a lumbar adjustment or anything. So I bought
a bit tight, isn't it?
I bought an interior from an Omega Elite, which is the sports leather seats, which I installed in it, which were much far better. If I was ever to sell the car, I would put the GLS seats back in it probably to put it back to standard. But I was getting severe backache and my lower back driving up the road because these seats are crap.
Yeah. Well, I prefer a dasher on that because when you went up to the CD or CDX, you had the wood veneer dash, wouldn't you?
Wood.
So I think the black's better.
Well, bizarrely, with that, this is the strangest thing with Vauxhall. I'd noticed that the black trim around the gear lever was starting to like tarnish.
Yeah.
And I was scraping it with a fingernail because it was like kind of gummy. And as I scraped it off, that panel is the walnut wood trim underneath. Vauxhall sprayed those panels black to spend extra money to make it look cheaper for the entry-level car.
It's mad, isn't
it? No wonder they ended up selling the bloody business to Stellantis if that's what they were doing.
Yes, not ideal, is it?
When I put the seats in the car, I was like, yes, heated seats. So plugged the seats, wired them, got them set. It's not wired for heated seats. There's no pre-wiring in it. I can't remember GL on an H reg is wired for heated seats. An Omega GLS is not. But apart from that, I've put Armshire 17s on it, which somebody kindly donated to me, which was really nice.
Yeah, look good.
Armshire 17s on it. It's got a back box delete as well because it's got two back boxes on it. Because it's a twin exhaust system.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah.
And you can't get one side of the back boxes. They're not made anymore.
Oh.
And there's no stock anywhere.
Right.
So I took it to my brother-in-law, Neil, who's a fabricator, who does phenomenal work. I do have some video on this for the Omega to do in the future.
Yeah.
And he just, I said, because the back boxes fell off, so I just ripped them off and threw them away. Was it a back box he couldn't get, or was it one half of it?
Oh, no.
It's got one back box. It's got one back box, but it's got two centre sections, and you can't get one side of the centre section.
God's sake.
At all. They don't make that. So I was driving it about with no back box on it for a while because it just rotted out. So I just threw it away, and it sounded all right.
It is.
So I did the right thing and just drove it until the MOT was due. And then I was like, shit, I've got to get the exhaust sorted. So I just went out to Neil and got him to run two straight pipes out the back like a twin exhaust.
Yeah.
So it's got a nice kind of rasp off it now. It's a bit twangy when it's cold in the morning. But
so are you, so that car's, are you going to keep that? Because obviously the original plan was, or sort of plan was, that you were going to get the Vectra Elite, which has obviously not been running properly since you got it.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that because the Vectra Elite is shite. Unfortunately, I can't. Well, I'll get, that's the next one. But the Omega, I've now got 30,000 miles on it. I need to do, I did the timing belt on it when I got it, so I'll do that next year. Car's spot on. It's a good daily driver. It does the same miles to gallon whether you sit at 60 miles an hour or 77 miles an hour. Work that out. I don't understand it.
Mad.
I tried it. I went down to Harrogate and back for work, and I drove all the way down at my normal speed, which is 80 on cruise control, which is enough to not get you any attention from the police or anything like that. Or even a camera van wouldn't do you for that because you're sitting underneath 10% plus two.
Yeah.
You know. And I tried driving at 60 odd miles an hour all the way back up the road, and the bloody fuel light came on just the same.
Was
unbelievable.
It,
so.
Was it, what does it do, miles per gallon? Is it quite thirsty?
It'll do 425, 430 to a 70 litre tank, and then the light will come on.
So
it's not the Cavalier and the Vectra will do 2 gallons less on the same run to London.
Yeah,
that's how much more economical they are. But it's not bad for a big
for a V6. Yeah,
it is what it is. The only thing that kind of counts against it is that you're like, well, a 3 liter wouldn't use any more fuel, and I do have a 3 liter engine sitting in the workshop out on Omega.
Oh, is where's that from?
It's been somebody left it in the garage in about 2007.
He left it in the garage?
Never came back for it. It was rebuilt. A new head gasket's done. Valve stem oil seal's done. It was left up there.
What?
It was probably going to go into a front-wheel drive car, and now it's mine.
Right.
If you're watching this and you think, that's my engine, well, you're not getting it back. You've got 15 years of storage to pay against it. I have got a 3 litre, but it's not the easiest task in the world to remove an Omega engine.
I bet it's not.
Swap it over. It's, you know, I mean, I could do it, but it's like a big sort of... if I was going to do it, I would put a lightened flywheel in it as well, but I would also like a different gearbox because it's got... The gearbox seems to be relatively short on it.
Yeah.
It's sort of 3,500 RPM at 80, which...
Wouldn't really expect that for a V6 cruiser, would you?
It's because it's an estate, and I think they were thinking it was going to tow.
All right.
So I would like a longer gearbox on it, or maybe change the diff. Somebody messaged me on Facebook like a year or so ago saying they had like some MV6 limited slip diff for one of those, and a couple of other sort of tasty bits, but I can't remember who that was. I maybe have to go raking back through the messages and say to you.
Miz, that's got such a low mileage on it. If you are going to sell it.
It's a 30,000 mile car as well.
You don't really want to ruin it, Deem. Well, change it anyway.
No, there's lots of others. It's a perfectly running, lovely car. You know, that doing stuff like that would be nice, but it's not a priority.
No.
So that's in there. It is what it is. It's a nice, reliable car. It'll keep racking the miles up on it. Keep using them, because I've discovered as well the best thing that you can possibly do with cars, unless you've got some sort of heated bubble to keep them in, is use them. If they sit outside, or they sit in like a normal sort of garage where you've got, it's exposed to the atmosphere and the elements.
Yeah.
The car is going to suffer badly, as we've discovered with the Blue Cavalier, which we'll get to now.
Yeah.
So that's the Omega. It's on the road. It's fine. Vectra C, which I bought about a year ago. Cheap. Vectra C Elite Z22YH 2.2. Bought it. Got it shipped to your house. We discovered that the fuel pump had an issue, so we rebuilt the fuel pump at Brian's because the washers had gone in it. Did that, got it running. It ran, but it would never run properly. It always would run on 3 cylinders, so it was always juddering. Engine management was coming on. So ultimately, I've got a whole sequence of... Oh, phone's going. I've got a whole sequence of video. It's Kenzo. I'll phone him back. I've got a whole sequence of video of me going through all the procedures with this car, but I haven't finished it yet and got it running, so I've not put the video out because I'm not putting something out where I'm like, oh, failed.
Well, actually, I need to give you some video for that as well, because I've put the rebuilt pump onto that. So
you did, aye. So
I'll have to send you all of that.
But as it sits, I got the injectors cleaned and checked, and one of them was massively out of spec. It was overfueling, which we discovered that's what the fault was. But I also found a bent pin in the ECU, and when I tried to straighten it, it broke. So I've got the new injectors in it, but I had to go and get a new ECU for it. Yeah. And the ECU has been wiped, and to date, I haven't been able to go and get software loaded onto it. So I'm actually waiting now for it. I have bought a Tech 2.
Have you? Oh, good effort.
Which is also, it's not here yet. It's going to come next week, I think. So I was like, you know what? I could do with this. I could invest in it. Be useful for the channel.
Absolutely.
So I've got a Tech 2 coming, which has all been set up. And the guy's done a lot of work on it, because you can buy them really cheap from China, but it's got nothing on it and stuff.
Yeah.
So this comes with everything on it. So hopefully I'll be able to upload the software onto it. And then that'll be the car running. It should run okay. My neighbour across the road used to have a Vectra, and he's like, oh, that's lovely, I'll buy that off you. And I'm like, well, you can, but I'm concerned that if I sell you it, it's going to, when it inevitably goes wrong, you're going to be over knocking my door. So,
So I guess if it's got a bent pin, then it sounds like someone's already been delving into the depths of this.
I mean, you can see where the wires have all been stabbed on trying to get the thing to run and everything. So we think that this is going to solve it. Yeah. I say 114,000 miles on it. It's got full black heated leather. It's got colour screen sat nav. Top spec, 6-speed box, lovely thing to drive when it's running.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm going to have to kind of just move it on to go and get a bit of cash in and get a space set up. We need the space. It's not going to generate that much content or anything like that beyond that.
So no.
I've got to think about that. So I'll try and run it up and down to England when it's running a couple of times just to get my sort of a bit of value out of it, and then I'll sell it on.
Yeah.
It needs to run in super unleaded petrol as well. Feckin' E10 stuff. It doesn't like it. I put some E10 in it by mistake one day, and it was down to like 20 mile an hour on the hills. So it needs to run super.
So that's all Y22 engines. So all 2.2 engines in for Vauxhalls. Same as that, I presume. So
no, the Z22 SE is not. That's fine. The older version, which is in the Vectra B, that's fine. The Z22 YH.
That's frustrating. That's really frustrating. It's a shame. So you say it's a lovely spec car, and I remember when they first came out and it had the electric boot as well. That was like, I mean, obviously it's pretty standard these days, but at the time you were like, wow, this is amazing.
Electric tailgate's amazing, aye. That's just the Kenzo there. Perfect. I am actually going, as I said, I'm going to see an Astra this morning.
Oh, yeah?
Since the channel's picked up and we've been doing stuff again, I've been people offering me things left, right and centre.
This is the dream.
Which is nice. It used to happen in Total Vauxhall. Remember, I got a Calibra Turbo for £500. And I got a Calibra 16-valve 4x4 for nothing.
Wow. That was the blue one, wasn't it? That was a nice car.
Yeah. I mean, what we're going to do as well, we're recording some stories.
Yeah.
Vauxhall-related stories and content as well. Because you've got some absolute cracking ones involved. Bedford CF, ambulance, various other things as well. And I've got a lot of stories from Total Vauxhall days and back in the 90s with the Vauxhalls. So I'm just going to sit there and it'll be like Vin Wiki style telling stories about Vauxhalls.
That's a good idea.
Because it's easy to produce. It's an easy thing to produce in the house when it's like raining and snowing outside at Christmas. That to do. So Vectra C will be up for sale once I get it sorted. Once my Tech 2 arrives, hopefully I can upload the software onto it. I'd bloody better be able to do it with that.
Exciting.
So
that's the Vectra.
Vectra, that's 1, 2, 3. So Cavalier CD, 2-litre 16-valve XE. That's a car that I bought. The video just went on for it yesterday, on Friday, when I'm going to start rebuilding it.
Yep.
That was a car I bought in 2013 from Warrington. My Cavalier GSI, which I'll do as another story, went on fire up the back of the dash. That should have written the car off, really, but I was so determined I wasn't going to let it happen. That ended up dragging the loom out through the bulkhead and repairing it, but the dashboard was all cracked in it up the top, and it had like a nasty mark on it. So I went and found this Cavalier CD on Gumtree, which had a mint beige dash in it and mint door cards. And I thought, it was for sale, spares or repairs. So I went to my ex-girlfriend, Lynn's, kindly went to look at it because she lived locally at the time. She said, yep, car's spot on. Went down to see it, handed over like £300 for it, put it in the recovery truck, got it back. And I was like, oh God, this is mint. I was like, I can't possibly break this. I still wanted the dash and door pads out it. So what I did was I had a black Cavalier SRI Ecotec, which the head gasket was away on, which we ended up stripping for bits, which we it was a bit rusty and things. It was not a car you would strip today. You would definitely back then have kept that car going. But at the time, I took it in part exchange for my Carlton Diplomat manual.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that.
Which was a really class, interesting, rare car. But I think I took it in part exchange for the sum of £200 for a diamond black car.
Wow.
Different times. So I think that was like January 2014. But what that meant was I had a full grey SRI 16 valve interior, which I fitted into the car. And I actually brought it down to you.
Yeah.
Because we did an event at McLaren in 2014 for Alan.
That's right. Yep. Good day.
Which was a great day out. And we brought the Cavalier down for that. That was when it still had the C20NE in it. And the head gasket was...
Was that why it was spares or repair? Why was it spares or repair in the first place?
No, we didn't know the head gasket was away on the valve at the time.
Yeah, right.
We didn't know. But it did like 45 miles a gallon that weekend. It was crazy. It did like 500 miles
a tank.
Yeah, that's crazy. But we got it back. Kenzo decided that he really wanted to buy the car.
That happens all the time. Happens,
or he wants one. Because, he ended up buying the GT16 valve off me. And then when I put the GSI4 before back on the road in 2018, he decided he had to have a four-wheel drive Cavalier as well.
So it's quite convenient.
But he decided he wanted that Cavalier. And then he'd bought a Corsa, which had a 2-litre 16 valve XE in it. So we took the engine out the Corsa and threw it away because it was rubbish. And put the engine in the Cavalier. So it was effectively, well, what I'd always wanted to fit an XE on a long ratio F16.
Yeah.
So we did that to see what it would be like. So it was essentially an SRI 16 valve.
Yeah.
Except it had the long ratio gearbox in it.
Probably a great cruiser, I imagine.
And it is. It's brilliant. I mean,
I have driven it. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah. You don't need to imagine. That is true, actually. Yeah. I probably sat with the cruise control on it. Probably a speed slightly over 17. It was fantastic. I enjoyed being in the outside lane with that. Cavalier. It was like...
Cavaliers, I don't care. Vauxhall built those cars to sit at 90 miles an hour. That's what they were. If you watch that BBC documentary about all the reps, which we need to
do called
on at some point, the guy in his Over the Moon with a Cavalier or something
A to Z of Motoring, is it? Or something like that.
A to Z of Motoring, it's fantastic. Look at
it. Really good.
All these Repmobile owners in like 1992. It's just before the Cavalier facelift comes in. And the guy's got a Cavalier GL, 2-litre I, and he's sitting doing like 90 miles an hour in it, talking away to the guy. You can see the speed of... And that's that was the cruising speed on the motorways in the early 90s. That's what people did. And those cars were designed to do that. That's why they've got such long gears in them. But Kenzo bought the car from me and then he ended up selling it with a 16-valve engine in it to Wardy, who owned it for a while. The head gasket went on it and then he was selling it and I ended up buying it back for £700. I got it back, did the head gasket on it, put it back on the road in 2015 and then ran it. I've put over 50,000 miles on that car.
It's done well, isn't it?
It was on the road last... It's done fantastically. It's brilliant. It's great on fuel. It's fast. It cruises superbly because of a retrofitted cruise control into it. That long gearbox completely changes the character of the XE. It does knock it back a little bit on in-gear speed and outright acceleration. You've got to wind it up a little bit more, but not so much that it hurts.
Yeah.
It's still got plenty about it. But the mad thing is it's got a higher top speed in fourth gear than it does fifth, because fourth gear is about the same as fifth on an F20. So if you're V-maxing the car, which I've done once, which is sort of 130 odds, if you go and change out a fourth and put it into fifth, it'll slow down because the gearbox is too
high. That's done six Scottish winters. The fact it needs a bit of welding now is sort of to be expected, especially at that age of car as well.
It does. I mean, it's gone through... I mean, every couple of years it gets a serious refurb. The last time that it got a whole new exhaust on it. That really noisy Euroflow, for some reason. It got a new Sportex D-Cat. It got Eibach springs, Bilstein dampers. It got new brakes all round. What else did it get? It got a timing belt in 2018. It got a fair amount of stuff done to it. But I had the extended MOT on it, so I got 18 months MOT, and then I just parked it for a bit And then obviously with being so busy during the summer, it took me a while to get back to it. But randomly last week, I was like, right, this car's going in the workshop and we're going to find out what it needs. I'm going to get it back on the road, because I'd decided I'd come up with plans for it. I was like, right, I'm going to go and do something.
It's cracking, Com.
But I got it in the workshop and I was like, oh dear, God, it actually needs more than I expected. But it's all normal Cavalier stuff. If you see in the video, it needs plates at the back of the sills, plates under the sills. The boot floor is now welded up. I've done all that this week on Wednesday and last night. So that's all done. It needs the jacking points at the front done, which you can still get now.
That's amazing.
Which you can get again. You couldn't get them for a while. Same with the back plates. Cars 2Z online. Fantastic.
Are they UK-based company?
They're a UK-based company down in Malvern. Wow. And they get the panels from Klokkerholm in Denmark.
That's pretty random.
They can get them from there. It takes a while to get them in now. I've got another set of jacking points on order for the GSI because it's lost its near side one. I've just double skinned it and welded it up for the time being.
That feels like the sort of parts that you want to like stockpile. It feels like they shouldn't even be bothering making those anymore.
Well, the price has rocketed as well. Everyone, because of Brexit, because of like the price of every raw material has gone up through the roof because of COVID and things. So I've got panels there for it. But the car, we're going to drop the engine and gearbox out of it. We're going to do the clutch and the timing belt. I've got Kenzo's IBAC springs because his turbo was too low. So we've put standard KYB springs on it, which is what the GSI's got on it. So I've now got his IBAS because one of them bloody snapped in the front. So I've got a new crank sensor, fuel pump relay, handbrake cables, anti-roll bar links, strut tops. It's got the new brakes and bearings on the back of it. What else has it got? I've got new wishbones to go on it. So the car's getting a proper gun. I've got electric window motors. I'm changing the passenger side electric window motor. And the two in the back, I'm converting to manual mechanisms. So it's losing its CD rear electric windows because only one of them works anyway. And besides the point, the SRI door card.
Exactly. I was just about to say that. So that's
just going to do that with it.
When we borrowed the Cavalier to go back down south.
Yes, you did borrow it on the hottest weekend.
Because I had my parents' dog in the back seat and she nearly melted. But
yeah, because only one window, two out.
That's right. Windows. And anyway, we got the passenger side down. So my other half was sitting there. And then, like, this colossal storm appeared in the distance. And I was like, oh, we're going to need to get that window up. And, of course, it jammed, like, halfway down. So she got soaked for, like, half.
Sorry, Ryan.
She was like, why didn't we take the Amiga? I'm like, I don't know. You said go for whichever one I wanted. So I went for the Cavalier. So I think you gave us a choice of what car was MOT'd and taxed, so.
Did I? But I didn't actually know that the window was going to do that, to be honest. That was a new development.
I found it quite funny. I don't think she did, to be fair. But,
it was refreshing overall.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So that's in the garage. It's getting extensively rebuilt. It's not a car I would ever be too keen to part with because I just know it inside out. I've also removed the ABS from it. And put a G-Reg SR master cylinder on it because you get so much better brake pedal feel and performance. ABS is crap on the early ones.
It was bad on my first GTE as well. It used to kick in so quickly and it was just rubbish.
That's not good either. The GSI is the same. I mean, moving on, the Cavalier GSI, a car which I've owned since 2006. I've signed it up to do the Auto Race Rally next September. And they've accepted it into the banger category. It starts at Caffeine and Machine and runs to Aberystwyth in Wales. And I've got to raise some money for charity for it. But I've wanted to do like an organised car event. And I was like, well, there's at least one I can do next year. And there's two classes. Classic.
Should be in Classic. That's all I'm saying.
Well, it should be. It probably should be. But it costs more to enter it.
Go for banger. Go for banger.
So I was like, bang. Yeah. It says cars which have been bought for up to £500. Yeah. And I was like, well, I did buy that car for £500 in 2006.
15 years ago.
Broom now, you know, there's nothing left of the original car apart from the shell. You know, everything's changed. But they were like, yes, that's no problem. We can accept that in the banger category. You know for a fact, though, when you go to this, there's going to be like Mercedes SLs in the banger category.
Yeah, it's going to be ridiculous. When are you going to get that back on the road then, anyway? Because like that's been... When was the last time that was taxed?
End of 2018. Okay. And there wasn't really anything much too much wrong with it. It just ended up getting parked up because other things were in the go, as is the way of things. So it's been sitting down in the garage. I did do a few bits and pieces to it. I did some more welding on it. I did all the back of the floor and the passenger side. And what else did I do? I did the prop shaft, the rubber gator at the front of it, which is a bit of a dick. As it sits at the moment, the yellow Bilsteins in the back, one of them's leaking quite badly. So I've bought, they're extortionate and they're built to order. Yeah. And I'm concerned at how long they'll take. So I've bought a pair of Sachs gas shock absorbers for, well, it was actually for a Calibra that were listed for, but they're the same setup on the back end as the GSI. And that's where it would have come from the factory originally, is Sachs shock absorbers, because they're owned by, that's ZF that makes them.
That's a...
I've got them. As it turned out, I had to drive it up the road.
Oh, yeah.
The other night, so it's sitting at the house. No tax or MOT on it. It's on my insurance policy. But, you know, because the blue Cavalier was stuck on the ramp, I had to get
ramp gate. You've had a shocker with that this month, haven't you?
Yeah, we're on take three. Kenzo's at it next Tuesday because I'm in Sweden. So they're going to sort it out. I don't know how, but it's ended up slightly at different heights. So it won't go up. So it's our own fault for not having it maintained for like 6 years. No, 5 years?
Yeah.
6 years. So the GSI is sitting at the house. It doesn't need that much. I mean, this car is a one of a kind. It's the only one in the world with a 3-litre V6 in it with 4x4. It's certainly the only one with air conditioning. We had to replace the aircon compressor, and it's got a hybrid air compressor. We pulled the pulleys off the front because it's got the old double pulley on it because it's for the early type, and this is obviously running the Serpentine belt for the V6. So we went and pressed the new clutch and pulley onto the front of it. So that doesn't need that much to go and get set up properly. But aircon's, the thing is with them, you get a lot of heat soak from the four-wheel drive Cavaliers. The turbo is horrendous. Kenzo's has got the black leather in it, and it's just so...
So you need the air conditioning.
So the GSI is not great either. And it's so rare to have air conditioning on it. It was actually the old R12 type that we had to get converted. I'm going to get the aircon working in it. The power steering pipes are leaking at the front. They've gone kind of porous. So I need to replace them. And if I put the shock absorbers on the back, I mean, at the bare minimum, it would probably be all right. The back plates are a bit sketchy. I've had to go and weld a washer with a couple of little bits of metal to hold the pins on for the handbrake shoes. But that was like a temporary budge, which has lasted a really long time. So I've got one back plate.
So what date is that then? When's the target to get that back on the road?
Well, I'm going flat out to get the CD on the road for Christmas. So I reckon sort of I'll get on with it sort of
spring,
early in the new year, pretty much. I mean, it depends. I could put the shock absorbers on the back of it at a bare minimum. And then go and run it in for an MOT somewhere that's kind of sympathetic towards things.
Always helps.
And see how it does. You know, it might not be that far away, because when I took it up the road, it drove perfectly. It's got Piper camshafts, flowed heads, enlarged throttle body, 4-bar pressure regulator, tubular manifolds, 2.5-inch D-cat exhaust on it, with a 4-wheel drive hooked up to it as well. This is like, it behaves like in the way that no other Cavalier behaves. It's weird. It's kind of, it's heavy over the front end, so it's not the ultimate in sort of handling car, but it just, it's designed to cover ground ridiculously quickly. Fast A roads, B roads, motorway. The thing just flies. It tramps on. It's got so much torque. You can run it 6 gear at 20 miles an hour.
Wow.
It's on an F28 with a flywheel on it. It just, it'll,
so what sort of power do you reckon that is
that's
then?
My, must 220. Be 220, you've got to think. If the V6 is 210 standard and an Omega, but that's got like the twin throttle body inlets, so maybe the Cavalier C25XE knocks a bit back off that again. But with all the other stuff I've done, you've got to think it's 220 horsepower. It doesn't hang about. It's not like the outright sort of power of like a tuned Saab engine or a C20 LET. But it's just, it's all about torque and the mid-range torque and drivability. You're changing up at 3,500 rifling through the gears, it's just like bah, 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 and it's just
sounds mega as well. Sounds absolutely mega.
I've got, well, when I stripped the Vectra BCDX, I stripped the heated seat pads out the seats as well, So I've got them to go in it. And the only options you could have on a Cavalier GSI when it was new, as far as I'm aware, was air conditioning, four-wheel drive, if you consider that an option. It's really another car. Heated seats, and you could have the Armshire boot spoiler,
which you've got as well.
All of which that car's got. Yeah, so I've got that as well on an old boot lid. So there's that. And then there's the Astra Saloon, which we bought for £200 and did a video on last week. The reason that we bought it was it was a saloon, and also the garage is full of Mark III Astra stuff. We stripped an Astra Cesaro a few years ago, 30,000 miles on it. An old dear had owned it and pulled the clutch out of it. You know? So the interior was mint. The engine out that, the 1600 multi-point, is in Kenzo's Nova now. But we've got a whole mint black Cesaro interior to go into the Astra Saloon. We've got the five stud set up, complete off my Vectra CDX diesel. So that can all go on it. We've got a set of springs and shocks, gas ones sitting new there for it to all go on it. We've got an XE 2-litre 16-valve engine and an F20 box sitting there, so that can go in it. And a manual steering rack. I'm going to throw the power steering away and fit that, because I want that kind of Mark II Cavalier Belmont SRI feel to it. So there's a whole lot of stuff sitting there that we can just...
That's going to be awesome.
Car, and then we'll use it next year. We're talking about maybe doing a trail day next
year. Oh, that'd be awesome.
We could go run it down the drag strip. We're going to take it out around Knock Hill, do some track days in it, because we're not that precious about it. And it'll just create, it'll be great fun to drive. And I'm not bothered about the rusty arches on it. I'm not bothered that it's five different.
This is the new super shed. This is the new super shed. Yeah.
Basically. Yeah. I mean, the super shed story for the channel as well sometime. That was the fastest 2-litre 8-valve Cavalier.
The giant killing 2-litre 8-valve Cavalier.
That was as fast as an XE. Yeah. I used to hassle Porsches with that, you know. Porsche 944s round Castle Coombe with it. They couldn't get away from it.
Imagine how pissed off people are going to be when they see a multicoloured Mark III Astra Saloon with the arches hanging out of it as well.
Yes. Because I'm like, Kenzo was like, what we'll do, we'll get the arches fixed and we'll get this done and that done. I'm like, we're not doing any of that. This car's just staying.
Yeah, leave it. It's awesome.
You can polish it if you want and make it shiny. Yeah. But that's it. So that's the six cars. Well, five and a half that I've got, because I'm going to half us on the Astra. Kenzo's got his Cavalier Turbo, which is, I've just done a spring swap on it last
year. I've never seen this car.
That needs to go to the garage. It's a smoke grey turbo that he bought in 2018. It's an ex-Total Vauxhall feature car. It's been highly customised. It was highly tuned at one point. We're removing all the customised stuff, putting it back to near standard. So there's all that to get done. It's coming down the workshop soon to get the clutch and timing belt done on it. It's got a locked four-wheel drive box. The interior's to go back into it, because there was a dodgy bit of wiring to the fuel pump, which nearly caused some fire issues. But we'll get that. We've sorted all that. So that's to come down. That'll be back out spring 2022. He's also got the GT 16 valve, which I used to own, which I bought from you, which is basically, it's sitting there now. It could easily, it's out of MOT, so it just needs, I'll go straight through the MOT again. So he's got that, and that's a beautiful sort of car, really honest, kind of solid, original Astra GTE. So he's got that, and he's also got the Nova, the Air Edge, which he's owned for nearly 10 years. It sat up at my house in Ockham Grey for a long time.
So Air Edge, first year of the Nova then, so that's a really early one.
It's an 83, it's got the grey tartan SR interior, it's got the SR clock.
Snowplow front.
Original
snowplow
front bumper on it, SR rear bumper. It's got a Sportex exhaust. Yeah. Unfortunately, Sportex sent the wrong exhaust. Yeah. It didn't have a Lambda boss in it, which we wanted, and the exhaust outlet is coming straight out under the bumper instead of coming out at an angle. So we need to get that. I'll just get Neil to go and cut and do that. The plan is, ideally, to get the Nova on the road and go and run it down to go and get your Nova as well. So 1600 multi-point engine. People were also like, saying, why don't you put a 2-litre in it, put a LET in it? And is it because it's been done to death? What we want is the original kind of Nova experience. Yeah. So 1600, that's an engine that originally came in the Nova. So it's sitting down at the workshop. I've got a whole load of video clips of that because it's been taking so long to do it. The problem at the moment mainly is the indicators don't work. The hazards do, but the indicators don't. And I don't know why. I've traced the wires. It must be an earth that's missing.
That's a bit
somewhere.
Random.
The car was, he'd bought it as a complete bare shell, so there's been so many bits that we've needed to add into it. But there's stuff to come on that Nova as well. That's not going to be able to sit outside that, because I would be concerned that somebody would haul the snowplow off it, because they're worth £500 plus.
Well, I'm paranoid about just leaving a Nova full stop at the moment. I've bought that huge great steering lock to put on it. Because you know how easy it is to steal novas.
Yeah, I mean, you need to go and pull things out from under the engine bay, you know. But if somebody really wants one of them, you know, they'll jack it up in the front and go and drag it.
It's... Yeah, and thanks to Top Gear, of course, they told everyone how to...
upside down hazard lights. I mean,
how... I don't even know how that came about, but I was watching that and I was like, oh, for God's sake, pretty much everyone had forgotten about this or didn't know about it, and now it's just gone out to the nation, basically how to steal a Nova. But anyway, so yeah, it'd be good to see that. Good to see. That'd be quite good. So we'd have a Mark 1, Mark 2 Nova. That'd be good. You could do a twin test if mine works okay.
Could do that. Yours should be fine. Yeah. Getting this one out there. I was going to put the Lambda Boss in it last week and then the ramp jammed up. Yeah. So it's pretty close. Like, the indicators are the main thing that's kind of holding it back. I've got flexes, and we've got the handbrake cable to put on it, because we managed to find the handbrake assembly. A chap, Craig, I think it was, kindly donated as the bits an entire axle
result
the other week. So that's to get done. So the Nova might well be on the road sort of roughly about the time as the Blue Cavalier, which means both of them come out the workshop. And obviously, I'd mentioned Kenzo's got the Nova Turbo. He's also got an entire Astra GSI to get reshelled. He's went and bought a track car shell, Mark III Astra, and he wants to go and put a LET in it and do all this kind of stuff. So that'll be in the road about 2029.
At best, if you do it.
Yeah, so I mean, there you go. I mean, that's the entire fleet. That's where everyone stands at the moment.
Yeah.
Going forward, like I say, you'll see some big changes in Once Driven Forever Smitten around sort of Christmas time, because I've got the Vegas editing software, which I need to learn to use. And we've got a new theme tune coming, and I need to cut together the opening and closing credits on it, so it'll look much more professional. But we're kind of closing in on 10,000 subscribers now, so I want to go and... It's no longer me just standing with my phone in the driveway. I've got another GoPro to use as well. I've got various bits of other equipment. I've got a $2,000 laptop sitting there.
It's good
to go and use. And there's different styles of video coming. I mean, you've divided into... You've got all the mechanical work and all the... trauma and rigmarole of keeping the bloody things running and getting them on the road. But once we've done that, we're very keen to do driving videos to show the cars in use and all the different things we'll be doing with them going forward. And also, I'll be visiting people and going seeing their cars and talking to them and doing content on that. Mm-hmm. Kind of like a Total Vauxhall feature, but on YouTube, on video, because magazines are just... car magazines are just not a viable proposition anymore. People don't buy them enough in Vauxhall. It's a niche now because of Stellantis and things going. It's like we don't have VXR, we don't have GSI, we don't even have SRI models anymore on the new Astra. Yeah. It's just...
It's such a shame, isn't it? It's such a shame.
It's such a shame. I wish they would bring something back, you know. I would love to go and get a Vauxhall press car and go and test it out and try it and everything. You know, I would like to probably go and do something, if I could, with the Insignia before it goes, because it's not long for this world either, being the last of the GM cars. But I think the Insignia is a fantastic looking car. They've stopped doing the estate as well. But these cars, on the other hand, these cars don't
sell. They don't.
People want Qashqais, and they want Cougars, and they want Mokkas. They don't want traditional family.
It's a real shame, isn't it?
Back cars, which is crap, because that's exactly the sort of car that I like. The Mondeo is getting binned off as well. People don't buy them enough. They're not a good proposition.
Yeah, amazing.
So we've got a lot of exciting stuff to come forward. And of course, with you being in Singapore as well, we'll still do this podcast.
Yeah, of course,
And we need to get some story. You've got some cracking car-related stories to come out with.
Absolutely.
I can't wait to do this Bedford CF one, because this is legendary.
Oh, such a disaster.
That's what makes it a good story.
Oh, dear. Yeah, that'll be a long one.
But That'll be good. So we'll have to go and check back in and get, you know, one or two of these things recorded for the channel. I'm not sure exactly how to do that, because perhaps I will sit here and prompt you with questions, but you might not hear me on it.
Potentially.
What I might need you to do is go and buy a webcam thing to go and set up, because it'll give you the HD sort of recording. This will maybe be a bit. I've got one sitting there as well that I need to try.
Apparently you can use the GoPro for that, but I have no idea what I'm doing with it.
Oh, perfect. Yep. That'll be fine then. Yep. So let's wrap this up now. Thanks, everybody. I hope you enjoyed episode 2 of the podcast. I'm going to upload this onto YouTube.
Yep.
But yeah, thanks very much, Pete. It's been good to catch up with you again. I shall see you soon. And thanks to everyone who's been so fantastic and engaged with the channel and been so interested in it. I really didn't think it was going to take off in the way that it has done. So,
oh, yeah, Voxels. Onward, who knew, eh?
And upward for 2022, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. Thank you. See you later. Cheers.
Bye bye. Right. Don't go anywhere. I didn't mean to stop that.
There we go.
There we go. Video back. Where are we? More. Stop recording. Now that's going to convert that to MP4 and video when this ends.